And good evening, everyone. Welcome to another exciting Saturday Night Wine Stream and another exciting episode of Drink with Rick. I'm Rick. Tonight, we got a great show for you. This is going to be a lot of fun. I hope you'll stick around for the whole show and get into the chat, and we're just gonna have a good time, as we often do on a Saturday night. I want to thank you for being here, for joining me here tonight. We are live everywhere we can be alive right now. And this is it. This is the show. If you're joining me here for the first time or for the 224th time, because this is the 224th episode of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream, this is a stream of consciousness kind of show. I do have my show notes. They're right here as always. Have them all ready to go, as a matter of fact. But we don't follow them verbatim. It's a guide. It's a guideline. Because the show is not about me, I'm just here to entertain you, to provide some of the entertainment, just kind of keep things moving, just a host. That's all. The show is about the wine somewhat and the beer, because we have a beer tonight as well. This show is really about you and me getting together on a Saturday night with our favorite libations, our favorite snacks, whatever they are, and just having a great time, just kicking back on a Saturday night, just forgetting about the worries of the week, and just relaxing for the weekend, because we need a relaxing weekend. There's just so much trouble, so much strife going on around the world and everywhere. Everybody needs a little outlet to just sort of decompress a little bit, you know, just kind of relax and take a breath and step back, and that's what this show is for. It really is. Now, you can join me live on the chats. Everywhere we're live, you can join in live on the chats. So let me show you where we can jump in to the chats here. We're live on our Facebook page, is at Drink with Rick. YouTube channel is youtube.com/@drinkwithrick. Twitch is twitch.tv/drinkwithrick and the number one, all one word. And on Odyssey is at drinkwithrick:7. Also, we're on the website. We're live on the website at drinkwithrick.com. Now, I don't have a live chat going there, but if you jump into the episode for tonight right here, jump into that episode, just click on the link for the title there, and you will get a comment box down somewhere. There it is. Comment box down below. You can put in your comments, and I will respond in kind. It won't be right away, but I will do that, and there we can converse that way, and I will read them on the next show. Now, of course, you can listen to the podcast. The podcast goes out at 10 p.m. on Monday nights. Monday nights at 10 p.m. Eastern time, and you can subscribe. If you go to drinkwithrick.com and click on the subscribe page, you can subscribe in all these venues. There's Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts. Well, not for much long. Google Podcasts kind of going away. Spotify, Amazon Music, iHeartRadio, Podcast Index, Blueberry, TuneIn, via RSS. You can get it anywhere via RSS, Deezer, Radio, of course, and by email. If you click on this button that says by email and you put your email address into the little box there, send it off to me, and you will get the latest episode of Drink with Rick, the podcast, as soon as it drops, and no salesman will call. Also, you know, if you want, you can support the show by buying me a coffee. That'll help. Buy two or three or four or five, whatever you want to do. I'm not going to beg for them, but if you want to, if you like the show and you find some value in it, please, that will definitely help support the show, and it'll help pay for some of the prizes that we're going to give away, especially during the holidays, because we do have the annual drinking game and things like that that we're going to do as we do every year on the holidays and give out prizes and things like that. Also, you can support me by just clicking like and subscribe and follows and everything in all these venues. It would be much, much appreciated. You don't have to. There's no obligation. But if you do like the show, it would be real much, much appreciated. Anyway, thank you very, very much. And also, you can contact me for any recommendations, likes, dislikes, any comments, whatever. Write to me, Rick@SavoyaMedia.com. That's Rick@SavoyaMedia.com. All right, so that's what's going on there. And let me tell you about the show that we've got going on tonight. Tonight, we are going to open a red wine from California. This is a red wine called Rose and Finch. This should be very interesting because it was, well, very low-priced wine. So we're going to see how it fares. And we're going to pair it with some foods. And my lovely wife, she has prepared some great foods to pair it with, as she usually does right there. There's an overhead shot of it, but I've got to show you later on when we really get into the National Days, the little food presentation that she has in the top there. It's really, really nice. Also, we're going to review a beer. This is an Oktoberfest beer. I know Oktoberfest is technically done, and it's almost the end of October, but I've been saving it, and I'm thinking, you know, we've got to have an Oktoberfest beer. So we're going to do that tonight. Also, National Days. We're going to toast National Days. And we're going to show the fan because, yeah, it's coming up that October 31st, and yeah, let's do something a little creepy on the creepy side, and let's show the fan. So we're going to do that tonight. And cat jokes. Drop in your dad jokes, your cat jokes. I'll explain the whole cat joke thing as we go along, but I'm ready with those. I hope you are too. Drop in your favorite ones into the chat, and we'll read them off. Hey, by the way, we also have the weekly sci-fi trivia question. So get ready for that. So we've got a jam-packed show here. So let's get moving. Let's get going on this show. Now, let me check the chats real quick. And my good friend Ed is in the chat on Facebook. He's jumped right in. And Ed says, Ed's here on time tonight. And Ed, I'm so glad to see you. By the way, I was going to show you something last week. And we got so sidetracked on other things. You know how this show goes. I got sidetracked on another track. You know, that train just... anyway, I was going to show you something, but I do have it tonight, so I can show it to you tonight. And remind me so I don't forget. I don't forget tonight. Anyway, I'm sure you'll be interested in this. And let me see what else is going on in the chats. We've got folks watching us... let's see, Twitch. We have folks in Twitch. Jump in the chat and say hi and tell me what you're drinking or not drinking or would you like to be drinking or you would like to see me drinking. And if I can find it locally and I can afford it, I'll see if I can buy a bottle of it and try it out and give it a fair and an honest review as well. Also, Odyssey, everything's looking good. Odyssey, we're there in YouTube. So we've got folks watching across... everywhere where we can live stream. And I'm looking for other venues to live stream on. So if you have any suggestions, drop them in the chat or whatever, or email me at rick@savoyamedia.com, and I will look into seeing if I can join the stream there as well. All right, so this is what we've got tonight. This is what we're going to be opening up for starters. Rose and Finch. This is a red wine from California. Rose and Finch. So I'm going to read the back of it. This is the back of the wine, and this is what it says on the back. It says, Rose and Finch. At Rose and Finch Wines, we embrace nature's harmony and the rhythms that mark the changing seasons. The finch hopping from branch to branch, chirping a sweet melody. Oh, that conjures up a really nice picture there. The blooming petals of the rose fill the air with their fragrant bouquet. Okay. They herald the journey through a new wine-growing season. With each glass of Rose and Finch, you can embrace the beauty and mystery of nature. Ooh. It's vinted and bottled by Rose and Finch Wines in Napa, California. So this is apparently a Napa Valley wine. And there is 13.0% ABV in this 750-milliliter bottle of wine. So that's what this wine is about. We're going to open up. As a matter of fact, let's open it up now because this is going to be such a busy show. And as I always tell my wife, I'm not going to go long tonight. And she goes, yeah. And this is going to be a short show. Yeah, right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She gave up on that a long time ago. All right. So I've got this open. Oh, you know what? I didn't have to do that because This one, this is one of those, there's some bottles, I don't know if you can see it. It's right here. This is one of those bottles that has the little tab that you can pull, and I wasn't paying attention. What can I say? All right, so I have my mechanical corkscrew handy. By the way, this is one of those, artificial, those synthetic corks. So you know this is a real, real highbrow wine. That doesn't necessarily mean anything, okay? I'm just being funny. There we go. It's, it's one of those synthetic corks. Anyway, let me set that aside for later. Excuse me, Bill. We'll kill Bill down there waiting for his turn. All right, I have the bottle open. And let me put the aerator in the bottle. And let's see if we have any displacement here. Hopefully not. But I do have something ready to wipe it up with in case we do. It's okay, it's in there, I guess, pretty good. And to hold the grape nectar, I have my genuine Galway Irish crystal glass given to me by my employers at buytowayradios.com. I'm going to pour a little bit of wine into this glass for starters. Okay, we've got the wine going. And how's your week going, by the way? I hope, or the weekend, I should say. I hope the week was very good. Also, to hold the glass that I have the grape nectar in, I have my genuine official Drink with Rick coaster, which is one of the worst for wear. All right, so let's get a little swirl going, and let me get a little swirl. Let's get some swirl music going here, and there we go. More cowbell. There we go. Nice swirl. More cowbell. Okay. There we go. I think we gave it a pretty good swirl. And as people ask me, I say, why do you swirl the wine? Why do people swirl the wine? Well, for two reasons. Because one, it helps aerate the wine, helps get the oxygen in there, gets it oxygenated, gets things moving around, and gets the aromas up into the glass, and actually gets the air in there so we can get that wine opened up so we can taste all the nuances of everything this wine has to offer. The second reason is, well, it's just fun. All right, so we've got this ready to go just about. We're going to let it open up and breathe, just breathe for a few moments. While it's breathing, we'll do some breathing, and we'll learn a little bit more about this wine. Now, I went to, up online, and I looked around for this Rose and Finch red wine from California. Unfortunately, I couldn't find a whole lot on it. In fact, when I typed in Rose, well, I misspelled it the first time and called it Rose and Fitch. And then it came out with Lees-Fitch wines. And it surprisingly enough, it actually came with a couple of items for Rose and Finch, but it came up with Lees-Fitch, which is a wine that I believe I reviewed, I think back in season two. Yeah, I think in season two, I may have the bottle back there somewhere. I don't know, maybe not anymore. Anyway, so I had to type in it again with a Finch, not Fitch, and it still came up with some interesting things. It came up with a Radley and Finch Rosé. This was from SaratogaWine.com, and I knew that was not it, Radley and Finch. So a lot of Finches around here. But I did find some information on it. Of course, one item that I did find came from Trader Joe's own website, because I did buy this wine from Trader Joe's. And this is a 2021 vintage. I did purchase it at Trader Joe's. And there was a little bit of information on it, talking about elegant tannins and acidity and flavors of ripe plum and balanced oak. And subtle hints of mocha and vanilla on the finish. This is what it's talking about here. I'm reading this from Trader Joe's website. I found it, believe it or not, I found it on Vivino too. Vivino had it, the 2021. It said the 2021 vintage apparently had the best ratings of all the years so far. And it gave it a 3.6 star rating out of 5 stars and 130 ratings. Okay, well, I kind of glanced at the reviews, and I didn't see a whole lot there review-wise, but people seemed to say it was, meh, all right, you know. So, you know, we'll check it out. But it did give a price of $3.99. Now, what did I pay for it? Because I bought it at Trader Joe's, and the reason I bought it at Trader Joe's because I saw the price, and I thought, okay. Now, I've been burned on a couple of these in the past. Two-boat Chuck. No. I jest. Although I did ingest a lot of two-buck Chuck in the day when I really couldn't afford much of anything else. Something I hope I don't have to go back to. But and it's not even two-buck Chuck anymore. I think it's more like $3 or $4 Chuck or something. Anyway, $3.99 is what Vivino said. I have the receipt right here because I thought, well, this one, you know, I did find a couple of really good buys at Trader Joe's in the past for the $3, $4, under the $5 mark. So I thought, well, you know, I'll take a chance on this. I didn't know anything about it at the time. I just saw it on the shelf. I'll take a chance on this. Why not? Why not, right? Why not? Okay. I went to Trader Joe's and I purchased it there, and I have the receipt right here. I'm looking right at it. I believe this is it, right? Yes, it is. It's the last item on the list. And what I paid for this 750 milliliter bottle of Rose and Finch Red Blend, I paid $3.99. The going rate, it's right there in the last time I'm on there. It's $3.99. So there you go. So we'll see if it tastes any good or how good it tastes or whatever. We'll give it a taste. And let me check the chats one more time. And once again, and glad to see you here as always. And everyone on Twitch, is what, jump in the chats on Twitch. Don't be afraid. I know there are folks watching. It's okay. It's all right if you do or if you don't. It's fine. It's more fun if you do. But and you have full access to me on the show if you do. But you know, you don't have to. There's no rule. You can watch. Just you can watch. Not say anything is fine. All right. Okay. So let's give this a little bit of a taste. Let me check around. Yeah, everything looks good here. Okay. Yeah, if only I had a producer. I do all my own producing. So if I get distracted sometimes, it's because I'm watching everything going on all around. All right, let's give this a little bit of a whiff. Smells like a lot of blackberry in there. Now, what did this thing say? It said, blossoming petals of the rose. Yeah, I don't know if I'm smelling any of that. I'm smelling a lot of blackberry. So we'll we'll see. Give it a taste. Oh. Wow, that's interesting. A lot of blackberry, but there's some other stuff in here, too, that just, it didn't really, it's raspberries, mostly raspberries here. There you go. Smelling blackberry, but I'm getting raspberries here. Okay, that's interesting. Somebody said plum. I'm not tasting plum so far. Raspberries. And, yeah, a little bit of chocolate. A little bit of, it might go well with this, but, it's funny. I'm smelling blackberry on the nose, but I'm not really tasting the blackberry so much as I'm tasting raspberry. A little mix of blackberry and raspberry. Still not getting any plum. I'd heard that a couple of reviews were people that were tasting plum in there, and I'm not tasting any of that. Actually, looking on the Trader Joe's site, they were talking about all kinds of stuff here. Ripe cherries and juicy berries. Well, yeah, I'm getting the berries. And I guess they're a little bit juicy. It's not jammy or anything too much. It's all right. But flavors of ripe plum and balanced oak. A little bit oaky. Yeah, it's a little bit oak. Maybe that's what the other thing I'm tasting, a little mocha. Actually, yeah, it's a little, now I'm thinking about it, it's a little bit more like mocha. Okay, all right, I can go with that. This is it's kind of medium balance. It's medium bodied. It's a medium bodied, medium kind of a ruby color. And it's the medium tannin. It's actually fairly smooth, really. Actually, surprisingly smooth. And medium tannins, not really bold. I wasn't expecting it. No, I wasn't sure what to expect. Red wine, when you get these red blends, sometimes they're like super bold. And this is not like that at all. It's kind of a medium balanced. And there's a little bit of acidity in there. But it's not, and it's kind of not much, you know. It's all right. I mean, I think that Trader Joe's thing said there was a bit of acidity in it. But is that what it said? Yeah, somewhere. I know I saw that here somewhere. But I, anyway, it's not, it's an interesting wine for $3.99. Not bad. We'll see how it pairs up with the food, as a matter of fact. And, you know, let's pour a little bit more of this. And let's pair it with the food. Because my lovely wife, Chi, has prepared some nice foods to go with this wine. Let me go pat. Camera 3's up. Now, we had for dinner, we had burgers. So this is a little bit of the burger. This is leftovers. They're always leftovers. Always leftovers. Kind of cold, but because we were leftovers. But hey, I'm not complaining. It's food. And if it pairs well with this wine, it's even better. Okay, there's a little oaky, as I said before, the wine's just a little oaky, not a lot, just a little bit. It adds to the smokiness of the burger. And so it's actually a nice combination. I like it. It's a nice combination here. Let's go to the palate. Let me see, I've got some water here. There we go. I'm going to go easy on the food tonight because I had a big meal. I had this burger for dinner. Let's go back to camera 3. Now, what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn around and I almost knocked that thing over, didn't I? We're saving that for later. Okay. She has beef brisket, some really thinly sliced beef brisket. What camera am I on? Over here. Okay. And she made this to top on the burger. So we had this burger and a thin slice of beef brisket go on top of it. I believe that was from Trader Joe's. I'm not 100% sure. Brisket's okay. All right, well, that was interesting. Not bad. I think it pairs pretty well with the meats overall. It's okay. I mean, nothing to write home about. But it's okay. Not bad. Yeah, let's clear the palette once more. Go back to camera three. And here we are with the cheese. Now, this is the, if I'm not mistaken, this looks like, yes, it is. It is the unexpected cheddar with Parm. So it has cheddar and Parmesan cheese in it. This should be okay. I think I should go with some nice white cheeses. This probably goes fine with pasta too, actually. Oh, yeah. I like that. It's pleasant. Pleasant tasting. Now, the wine seems a little light for this cheese, but it's okay. I mean, it's pretty decent. I like it. It's good. I can go with that. I think that's really all we need to do for the pairing for tonight. But I think that's not bad. So, overall, this wine, I think, pairs pretty well with the burger. It's okay with that. I think it's really more this brisket than the wine. I think if I had a better... The brisket was okay, but I don't think it was the greatest brisket that I've had. I've had better briskets, to be honest. I think if it was a better brisket, the wine would go better with it. The cheese it went great with. I'm good with that. So overall, it's a decent pairing, and so far, it's a decent wine. It's not a bad wine. And for $3.99, actually, yeah, I'd probably buy another bottle of this. Of course, we'll see how it goes as we get down into the bottle, because as I said so many times, you really don't know the personality of a wine until you get down into the bottle. We may do that a little bit tonight, but we do have a beer to taste too, so I have to watch myself on that. Of course, sometimes you never know the true personality of a person until you get down into the bottle. But that's something else entirely. Another subject. All right. I think that's got it for the taste. Let's get back to the chats for a minute, because I want to chat with everybody. And let's see. Okay, we're good everywhere. Oh, great. Okay. We've got our first spammer for the night. Look at that. Dreaded Flatten 6. Our first spammer on Twitch tonight. How about that? He's sorry for bothering me, but he wants to spam me. All right. Well, I call out the spammers. That's the thing. I call out the spammers. I'm not going to promote them, but I'm going to call them out. This person is sorry for bothering me, but he's going to bother me. He's going to bother all of us. He's going to try to disrupt the show with his spammy spam. Shame on you. So we know who to block now, and that's Dreaded Flatten 6. Okay. Everybody remember that name and know to avoid him, her, whatever. I'm in that kind of a mood tonight. I really am. I went to my annual HOA meeting tonight, so I'm in that kind of a mood, you know. Yeah, we're not going there. Let's just enjoy the wine and everything. Okay, so I'll ban him later. Hey, I'm a nice guy, except when somebody starts spamming me in the chat with a spammy spam, and then it just shows what kind of... All right, enough of that. All right, so what do we have going on, Hal? Oh, what time is it now? It's time to toast the National Day. So let's get to toasting the National Days, okay? Let's go to the National Days, because that's kind of related to what we're doing. Well, where's my National Day toasting thing? Here it is. Time to toast the National Days. And wow, do we have some National Days to toast. This is where the fun comes in. Yeah, it's... Now we're going to have some fun. Okay. Let's see. Today is October 28th. October 28th for another, hour and 20 minutes. We have time to show the film. Don't worry. There's time to show it. October 28th, is National First Responders Day. That's right, National First Responders, and we're talking about the those ambulance drivers and the firefighters and the police and everybody else who the first responders on the scene at some sort of disaster, whatever it is. Let me tell you something about. I don't think I need to tell you anything about them. We all know how brave and wonderful first responders are and how much they're appreciated, especially if they're responding to an event that involves one of us, you know, right? And they are definitely appreciated. And at my HOA's meeting today, we had two fire trucks and we had some of the firefighters there. And I was there a little bit late, so I missed a lot of their presentation, unfortunately. But I wanted to say thank you very much for being there. And firefighters, they're, you know, people who are firefighters, they are definitely a different class of people that show a lot of dedication and bravery. They really do. Firefighting is an extremely dangerous thing. And these are the guys that can just jump into a burning building and save somebody. And they have all these different skills. And these are guys also that have to carry, they're having to carry like 50 pounds of equipment or so up and down the stairs all the time, different flights of stairs to get to where they need to go. And let's not even, we don't even, let's not even talk about the long hours and things like that that they have to go through. Here's to first responders everywhere, not just the firefighters, but all first responders. Thank you very, very much. You are much appreciated. Here's to you. I'll drink to that. National First Responders Day. It's also National Trick-or-Treat Day. Yeah, the last Saturday of October is National Trick-or-Treat Day, even if it's not October 31st. Also National Internal Medicine Day, and these are, the doctors, the surgeons, everyone who practices internal medicine. Drink to that. It's also National Make a Difference Day. The fourth Saturday in October is National Make a Difference Day. We should all do our best to make a difference in a positive way, to do for the betterment of our families, friends, neighbors, society in general. Here's the National Make a Difference Day. It's also, well, here we go. That's what this is about. You know what? Did I put the photos up? Do I have the photo ready? Yes, I do. I have it ready to go. It is National. Drum roll, please. Yes. It's National Chocolate Day. I just drank to that because I love chocolate. Who doesn't love chocolate? National Chocolate Day. And in honor of National To celebrate National Chocolate Day, my lovely wife, Chi, prepared this little presentation. That's what we've got. That you see the overhead shot. That's what this is right here, this overhead shot right here. They want to knock it off the plate. But this is what she did. This is the photo of this is looking head on. This is a chocolate, as I understand what she explained to me, was that it is a chocolate bouquet. This is a chocolate bouquet. And in this chocolate bouquet, if you look, it's mostly made of chocolate. She said it's made of chocolate, but I don't think it's 100% made of chocolate. She has a lot of chocolate in there. And she has, it looks like she has a couple of grapes in there and some strawberries. And looks like an orange rind and some, really a lot of stuff. She has mint in there, some mint from her own garden. And in the bottom of it, that's filling it all up, in the bottom, she has chocolate chips. So that is this is for National Chocolate Day. And for my lovely wife, Chi, I want to give her a nice round of applause because that's just amazing, isn't it? National Chocolate Day. So we're going to try a little bit of that. Yes, she has a few things in here that... let me go to camera three for just a second. There we go. We're going to take this, and we're going to try to be very careful with it. But this is on camera two. This is it. We have the strawberries, and there's chocolate coming out of here, and the grapes, and there's chocolate chips in the grapes. There's a lot of chocolate in here. She has this, whatever this is, and she has the chocolate chips down here and the mint. And she has this right here. Now, this is very interesting. This, I had one of these already. This is a, looks like I think it's a cherry? I know it's a strawberry. It's very interesting. I've got to show you this because I want to eat it. But this is some. I think she got it at Sam's Club. Let's see if I can get it. It's kind of like eating a malted Bilt Ball. But the outer layer, like the inner layer inside is a strawberry. And then there's a layer of white chocolate, and then there's an outer layer of dark chocolate. I bet it goes good with this wine. Oh, yeah. Yep. That's rich. Whoops. I just lost another chocolatey thing, whatever it was. Wow, there's a lot of chocolate in there. All right, well, I'll save that for later. After the show, maybe. Maybe during the film. We'll see. I got to go easy on this stuff. Anyway, so that's what that is. So, we're back to the initial days. Here's the National Chocolate Day. I will drink to that. All right, let's do a few national days for tomorrow, too. Because it'll be tomorrow in about another hour and 13 minutes. Tomorrow, October 29th, it's World Stroke Day. So that's something to be aware of, World Stroke Day. Do you know are you aware of the symptoms of stroke? That's something that everybody should be aware of. That's something that I think about sometimes, especially at my age. Here's to World Stroke Day. I'll drink to that. It's also National Oatmeal Day. Yes, it's National Oatmeal Day. I like oatmeal. Do you like oatmeal? Who doesn't like oatmeal? Some people don't like it. When I was growing up, I hated oatmeal. I didn't like oatmeal. I thought it was gross. But as I grew older, I started to appreciate oatmeal, and especially when I started having to have oatmeal. It's part of my daily regimen. I learned to appreciate oatmeal, and I like it. And you can do things with oatmeal, like, you know, put in fruits and vegetables, a little piece of apple and cinnamon and whatnot. And I like to put on my oatmeal, I like to put honey, real honey, not just regular store-bought honey, but honey that's, raw, unfiltered honey, if I can. That's a lot healthier for you. But honey nonetheless, and it really adds another dimension to the oatmeal. And it's good for you. That's all good for you all the way around. So here's the National Oatmeal Day. I will drink to that. It's also National Hermit Day. Hear that, Bill? And, okay, here we go. Here's the one national day that we're going to jump right on, and this is going to segue into our other entertainment for tonight. Oh, and before I do that, Ed says, because I was asking Ed how his week went. He said, I get distracted. It's okay. Ed says, my week included a murder mystery tour based on Clue. Not exactly an escape room. Poison was the cause of death, and we warned Mr. Body not to drink the wine because we were suspicious. The wine was not decorked in front of us. We were leery. As well that you should be. As well that you should be. Those are fun. Murder and mystery tour, huh? Based on Clue. I like Clue. Clue's, I like playing the game, the board game Clue. And I'm pretty sure you've played the board game in the past. But the movie Clue, which was based on the board game, was also kind of clever. And we're going to get off on a tangent. Sorry, now are we? The thing about the movie Clue, I love good murder mystery. You know, a whodunit. Those are fun, as long as you're not one of our victims or the murderer. But there was, I think the movie, they shot like three or four different endings for the movie. And when the movie was released, they released it in various theaters with the different endings. So some theaters had it with one ending and another theater, other theaters had it with another ending, and then other theaters had it with still a third ending with different people being the murderer at the end of the film. And I think there was even a little twist there too. But I've seen the movie a couple of times in a fun movie. There's another movie that's sort of along similar lines. Trying to think of, there were a few that were done like this, like Clue, but those I like to watch those, and that's one reason why I like to watch Columbo and some of these other mysteries. But that sounded like that was a lot of fun, Ed. So it wasn't exactly escape room, but it was still kind of like, it was a kind of a role-playing thing, right? So that sounds like that was a lot of fun. Poison was the cause of death, and we warned Mr. Body not to drink the wine because we were suspicious. The wine was not decorked in front of us. We were leery. Yeah, as best to be leery about that. Let's see. Where was I now? Okay, we've got one more national day to toast. Yeah, I know there's spammers in there. I'm trying to ignore that. Where are my mods when I need them? Okay, national days. Back to the national days. October 29th, 2023 is... Where's my drum roll? Here we go. National Cat Day. That's right. It's National Cat Day. That's right. It's National Cat Day. So to celebrate National Cat Day, we have some cat jokes. So, yeah, if you have some cat jokes, drop them in because we're going to tell some cat jokes right now. Just break it up. Let's. Here's some National Cat Day, by the way. I'll drink to that. I don't have any good cat pictures in right now. I don't. Oh, that's camera three. Never mind. I'm just punching buttons. Whatever. Let's see. Okay, let me tell you some cat jokes. By the way, this is it's the fourth Saturday in October, I guess. Or the it just says National Cat Day. Well, we're going to celebrate National Cat Day because it is Catterday. It's Catterday. And this is the Catterday Night Wine Stream. Okay. Where am I? Nobody's there. Everybody's kind of sitting there. Yeah, okay. So it's Catterday Night Wine Stream. It's Catterday. Or we could call it Cat Turd Day. Yeah.
Oh, great. Whatever.
All right, so here's some cat jokes. I'm going to tell you some cat jokes, if that's okay. But put your cat jokes in there if you have any. I've got some cat jokes. Where do cats go for vacation? Where do cats go for vacation? Meowie. Like Maui, but Meowie. Yeah, okay, whatever. Do cats stutter? No, but they pause. That didn't deserve a rim shot. Some of these are really, really bad, by the way. And I picked them off the internet, so because I didn't have any really good ones myself. Okay, I did do the Caterty one, but here's one. Okay, wait a minute. I don't want to tell the really, really bad ones. Okay, here, I'll tell this one. What do you call a cat that can sing? A meowsician. Okay. Yeah. What do you get if you cross a cat with a tree? A catalog.
Oh, great.
No, that was, that didn't work. That didn't work. Well, let's try another one. What do you get if you cross a cat with a, no, I read that one again. Okay, that's what happens when I read it. I don't know what I'm reading anymore here. Okay, why don't cats play poker in the wild? Oh, okay, I don't like this one because there's another one that's better than that. Okay. Why don't you want to play Monopoly with a cat? They tend to be cheetahs. All right. What did the kitten have at their birthday party? A pounce house. Yeah. Why did the kitty get an A on their English assignment? They properly used an independent clause. It wasn't that funny. What? The way I laugh. When a cat doesn't want to say goodbye, what do they play in? Oh, wait a minute. I didn't read that long. Wrong. I've had enough of this. When a cat doesn't want to say goodbye, what do they say instead? See you later. Yeah. I'm going to do a couple more of these because it's unless somebody else has a better one. Ed says, or a lead pipe. Oh, I didn't read. I missed that one. I'm sorry, Ed. Ed says, poison is not a wrench, a revolver, a rope, a knife, a wrench, or a candlestick. Really sort of a foul with regard to traditional clue or a lead pipe. Come to think of it, poison was one of them in the original clue, wasn't it? Maybe it wasn't. No, well, yeah, I thought maybe it's been a while since I've played the game or seen the movie, so I don't really remember. Interesting. I don't know. I have to play the game again, or I have to watch the movie again one of these days. The movie, there were some aspects of the movie that were it was a fun movie. I wouldn't say it was exactly like the game, but it was, I think they tried to be pretty close to it, at least the way I played it. All right, we got time for a couple more, right? Okay, then we'll show this film. What else we got on the list? Oh, yeah. All right, I want to make sure I get the film in here. And the beer. I'm going to do the beer. A couple more cat jokes. How did the mom cat know she was pregnant? Her test was positive. What's a cat's favorite cereal? Mice Krispies. What color do kittens love the most? Purple, as in purple. Okay. I don't know. What does the cat say after making a joke? Just kitten. When cats need to go to the airport, who do they call? a tabby. You know, cabby, tabby, yeah, whatever. Okay. Why did the cat have to go to an accountant? They got caught up in a pyramid scheme. It wasn't that funny. Somebody was really amused. All right, I think that'll do it for the cat jokes. Once again, this is what we're drinking. We're drinking the... Oh, that's not what we're drinking yet, but this is what we're going to be drinking. This is what we're drinking. The Rose and Fitch California red wine. It's 2021. It's okay. I like it so far. Pretty decent, and the blackberries are starting to really... go away, and the raspberries are starting to really come out. Speaking of red, no, I'm not. All right, so let me show you. I did give you a sneak peek already, but let me show you what else we have tonight. This is a Samuel Adams Oktoberfest beer. We're going to review this. In fact, let's review this right now because, you know, time's a-wasting. So I've got down here in my official Drink with Rick ice bucket. This is the official Drink with Rick ice bucket for what it is. And I have this chilling inside it. This is the Samuel Adams Oktoberfest beer. Here, Bill, watch that for me, will you? All right, so this is the that's the Samuel Adams Oktoberfest. This is a seasonal beer. It says hearty and smooth. Ay, mi hearties. Hearty and smooth, 12 fluid ounces, lager, 5.3% alcohol by volume, and 16 IBUs. Okay, and there's something on the back here. What is it? What does it say on the back? It says Oktoberfest. Malt brings so much to a great beer. That's why we developed a unique malt blend to provide a robust color and smooth, rich flavor. Like you, we look forward to this tradition every year, and that's Jim Koch, founder and brewer of Samuel Adams. So, there you go. Now, I like Sam Adams beers. I've had a few of them today. I don't recall having the Oktoberfest. I may have had it once, but a long time ago. But I don't really recall having it recently at all. Not in the last few years. But I have had a number of Sam Adams beers, other beers. And one of my favorite Sam Adams, as a matter of fact, it is my favorite Sam Adams beer, is the chocolate box. The chocolate box. As you know, I like chocolate and I like box. And this was the best of both. And I make a point to try to have one, or at least one every year. So we're going to open this up. So we're going to pour it in here. We're going to try this beer right like this. I'll pour it into the glass. It has a nice head on it. Whoa, okay. Well, that's a nice looking beer. That is a nice looking beer. Nice golden color. Look how nice golden honey color. It looks pretty good. It smells pretty good too. I smell a few hops in it. Not overly hoppy, but it smells. I can smell some hops. Let's top this off a little bit. Oh, Didn't want to top it off too much. Now, that is a pretty nice-looking beer. I'll have to say, I'm on this one. This is a nice, healthy-looking beer. I like it. Looks good. Smells good. Oktoberfest beer. So we're going to go ahead and try this and see what it tastes like. Anybody else ever had Samuel Adams? Ed says some of these jokes are catastrophes. Yeah, definitely. Definitely. I'll give you that one. Some are amusing, though. Some are amusing. They can't all be perfect. Oh, Ed, those are good. And I think my spammer scared off some of the Twitch people in the chat. All right. Let me just go ahead and give this beer a try. Hey, I like it. Not overly hot. There are a few hops in the beer, but not overly hoppy. A little bit of malt in there, just a little bit. Well, a little peppery, actually. This beer tastes, it has a little peppery taste in there, but I like it. Yeah, it tastes a little bit of pepper, like black pepper. But I like it. Very tasty. Smooth. It's fairly smooth, easy drinking. A little crisp. It's a little crisp, not much. It's pretty smooth. It's not, you know, just a little bit of crispness there. crispness comes but once a beer.
No.
Yeah, I know. Sorry, Mom. Anyway, actually, I like this beer. Pretty good. I like it. It's all right. I have to say, I've never been disappointed in this Sam Adams beer. I'll say. I really prefer a lot of the craft beers, a lot of the flavored craft beers, and a lot of the beers that are more malty and more of the dark beers. But this is a lager, and it's pretty good. I like it. Oktoberfest. I may have gotten the last one of these. I don't know. I picked it up at Trader Joe's. As a matter of fact, I forgot. That's one thing I forgot to do. I forgot to tell you what I paid for it. Went to Trader Joe's and picked this up there. Ah, Sam Adams Seasonal. That's what this is. I paid for this bottle, this 12-ounce bottle of beer. I paid $1.84. I paid $1.84, and it's right there. Is it better if I put it on this other camera? Here? Okay. $1.84 for the Sam Adams beer at Trader Joe's. Not bad. It's actually a pretty decent beer. I like it. I do like the beer. And no, I'm not one of those people that never met a beer he didn't like. You know, I'm not one of those people that could just sit there and chug beers and it doesn't matter what it is. There's some beers that I like better than others. There's some that I don't really care much for at all. This one's actually pretty good. I like this one, and I would buy another beer. I'd buy another Sam Adams Oktoberfest beer, however long it's still going to be around here, because it is a seasonal beer, and no doubt they're probably just about clearing them off the shelves at this point. Those seasonal beers, sometimes they just don't last, especially if they're very popular. And Samuel Adams beers are pretty popular beers, at least around these parts. So I wouldn't be surprised if they're all gone at that point. Okay, so I guess that does it for the beer tasting. I'll continue to have some beer. My wife made some, to go with the burger tonight, she made some homemade potato chips. And I said, hey, can you maybe include some of those in on this plate here, and I'll have some with the beer. I think she forgot to do that, because I would have liked to try these with some chips. This is a beer that would go great with chips or pretzels or... You know what? It will probably go pretty good with the Trader Joe's ghost pepper chips that we reviewed a few weeks ago. And I have to admit, I'm really addicted to those chips, and I shouldn't be. I've been trying to stay off of them because my doctor, I told my doctor I would, but it's difficult to put those things down, so it's tough. I'm trying to work on it, though. All right. So, by the way, I just want to let you know that I've got the date secured. It's going to be Saturday, November 18th, 2023, that we're going to premiere Space Apes from Ice Planet Alpha in its entirety. It's going to be segmented on the show, but we're going to premiere it on the show. Now, in the past, we have shown it a couple of times. It was more of a... kind of a private preview for the after show. So those who've seen it in the after show, that was kind of a private screening for you. It wasn't generally released on the show itself, but we're actually going to release the film for Thanksgiving, for Thanksgiving holiday, and I'm going to show it in its entirety on Saturday, November 18th, 2023, and it'll be in segments, but it will be, the entire film will be shown. And for those who have not seen Space Apes, you'll definitely want to show up for the live show. I think you'll really enjoy it. We've had a lot of great feedback, a lot of positive reviews from folks who have seen it already, and they really enjoyed it, and I think you will too. So join us for that. Okay, so I guess that kind of has it for most of what I've got, although I do have one more item here. I have a sci-fi trivia question for tonight. By the way, this beer is pretty good. I'm going to have to lay off on it. I'm just going to finish that one. Why not? We do have a sci-fi trivia question, and as soon as I can find out what I did with it, because it's here somewhere. Oh, I found it. There we go. Okay, so here is tonight's sci-fi trivia question. And this is what it is. Sci-fi trivia. Tonight's sci-fi trivia question is, what crime-infested city was depicted in the movie RoboCop? What crime-infested city was depicted in the movie RoboCop? The original film with Peter Weller in it. This was the film by Paul Verhoeven, and Verhoeven, who went on to make another film that I saw that my wife, she didn't care for too much, and that was. Yeah, Verhoeven's done some pretty interesting films, yeah. Well, anyway, this is tonight's trivia question. What crime-infested city was depicted in the movie RoboCop? So I'll give you a few moments to mull that over, and if anyone has the correct answer, you can go ahead and put them in the chats, and in the meantime... let's go back to the beer. The beer is pretty good. The wine's pretty good. I'm going to give a final review on both of these in just a few moments. So let me see what I did clean up the chat and Twitch during the film. I did clean that up. So not a problem. All right, I'll give you a couple of minutes to think about that. This is a, I don't think this is a hard question. RoboCop, now known as a classic film. And crime-infested city was depicted in the movie RoboCop. I think Ed has it. Oh, wait. Ed says, remember a beer can that you had to buy? Generic. A white can. The only thing printed on it was a single word. Beer. You know what? I do recall that. I completely forgot about that. But yeah, there was a beer. It was a long, long time ago. It's funny you remember that. I completely forgot about that. A beer that it was a generic beer. It was just in a plain white can, and it just said beer on it. I do remember that. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, I'm glad you reminded me, because you reminded me of something else. Ed, I've got something for you. My good friend Ed and I go way, way back, and as I mentioned before, there are a number of things, a couple of projects we worked on together, and one of these, there was a point in time where I was interested in doing an animated film. This was before Disney had done their version of it, but I always thought it would be kind of a cool thing to do an animated film on Hercules. And Ed had gotten the idea to, you know what, I'll write a script for this film. So Ed wrote a script for the film Hercules, and I kept it. I saved it all these years. We never really used the script, but I've got the draft here. He did a few drafts of it, and I've got two of them. I've got one that's in a, I think it was more of a final draft, and this was a draft. And it's funny because it was written. I've got the date here too. Look at this. This is Hercules, a screenplay by Ed Anthony, and it's dated September 1979. And it says down here, this draft completed, the draft was completed May 8th, 1980. So he went, Ed went through several drafts of it, but this is this copy right here is, I think it was a mimeographed copy, because it's in the blue. He made several copies, mimeographed, and it was blue. I forget how many pages this is. It's quite a few pages, and 61 pages, okay. And I read it, and it was entertaining. It was very entertaining, and I thought, you know, this would be great to make an animated film of. But we got so elaborate into the whole thing, I realized that after he wrote the script, that oh man, there's no way I'm going to be able to animate it because it was just too involved. It was just too big of a project. It was way too big of a project for me to animate it myself. But I have another draft of this. I have a later draft. It's in like a plastic binder here too, and that's across the studio. It's on the other side of the studio, or it's actually on the other side of this monitor here, in the studio. But so I actually have two drafts of this, and I tell you what, I want to say I should give Ed gave me a nice certificate of completion for Harry's Climb. I should have given you one of these, Ed, for completing this, for completing the Hercules. But I've got the reason. Saved it all these decades. It's still here. Thank you, Ed. Much appreciated. A lot of work went into this. Ed put a lot of time and work into it. And I want to say to my good friend Ed, thank you. Thank you very, very much. Wow, I get some applause for that for sure. Anyway, and yes, I've saved all of this for decades. I have a lot of memorabilia here that from way back when that I just couldn't really part with. And as a matter of fact, I went through. I had a box of cassettes because I was looking for the original soundtrack for another animated film that we made in high school. called Slang of the 20s, and it's already been transferred, but I wasn't able to find the original soundtrack, and I've been I've been in touch with my friends, and they didn't have it either. Those who helped me, you know, actually we were all part of the same group that were making these films, and nobody else had it either, and then it seemed to be lost forever. I'm trying to figure out some way to constitute it. I tried to see if I could find the original script, so maybe I could reconstitute it that way through AI or something. But it's a cutout animated film, and I was looking for that, and I ran across a whole bunch of the cassettes that I had saved from back in the days when we were recording all the Dr. Demento shows. Ed and I used to get together after work, and we'd go over to his house, go to the apartment we were at the time, and just listen to. We'd buy some chips, a big bag of chips, and cookies and beer. We'd buy plenty of beer, and we'd sit around and listen to Dr. Demento on the radio. And then Ed recorded a whole bunch of them on cassette. And I actually have a collection of these things, and I still have them. Went through. I found them a few weeks ago, and I've been kind of going through them a little bit. But actually, some of them held up pretty well after all these decades. I'm actually surprised, because I kept some of them in my garage, and they were not stored in the best condition under the best circumstances. But some of them have held up pretty well, surprisingly. Ed says, I used a lot of carbon paper on a new typewriter, not mimeography. Oh, that's right. That's right. That is carbon paper. You're right. It kind of, you know, it's funny. My memory failed me on this, but yeah, you're right. This is carbon paper. It's not mimeographed. It's carbon paper. Yeah, that's true. Mimeograph would have more of a purplish tint to it than this. It's interesting because after being in storage for decades and decades, it's not easy to read, but it's still readable. It's still readable. So I should scan this in. One of these days I'm gonna try to scan this in so we don't lose it, because it's a good thing to have for posterity. If I can manage to scan these in soon, I'll, and just in case you don't have it, I'll send you a copy of it if I can get these things scanned in, and that way you have it for posterity. It says, you have more drafts than I can put my hands on. I don't know how I wound up with all the drafts, but I've got two of them, actually, two of them. So really, really, really cool stuff. Anyway, I think that's pretty much got it for the show tonight, right? I think I hit every boom, 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 boom. Everything that was on my list here for tonight. Oh, the sci-fi. Right, we start off. I got all this tangent tonight. Okay. So, whoops. That's another round of applause for Ed. All right. So, I need a producer one of these days. I don't know. All right. Let me go back to the trivia game. I got way off on a tangent here. Okay, so what crime-infested city was depicted in the movie RoboCop? And we're talking about the film with Peter Weller in it and Nancy Allen. She played his partner, and if you remember how the movie went. And then there was Ed. Speaking of Ed, there was a robot called Ed 209. And Ed 209 was probably... You know, they made some scary robots. I remember in Saturn 3, that was the movie with Farrah Fawcett and who else was in there? There were a few people in there, that big names. It's funny as Farrah Fawcett comes to mind first. But it was Farrah Fawcett and I'll think of it in a second. I can see his face. I just can't think of his name around offhand. Paths of Glory. I'm thinking of the film Paths of Glory and a whole bunch of others. And his dad? Not the son was the son was uh, oh uh, Michael Douglas's dad. It was, Kirk Douglas. Okay, so it was Kirk Douglas and Farrah Fawcett that was in this science fiction film. And they were on this space station or ship or something that was way out in space. And they picked up this kind of hitchhiking guy that was kind of a creepy guy. And he had this robot that he programmed in to, you know, do nefarious things and take over the ship and whatever. And that robot, to me, that robot wasn't that creepy. It wasn't that scary. It was just, you know, it was one of those robots gone awry, that kind of thing. And even the robot in, there have been a few scary robots out there. Even the robot in the black hole, the Maximilian, the robot that was Maximilian with the big red eyes and, you know, the kind of like the big red slit there for eyes and just looked really intimidating, very intimidating robot. And even he didn't seem that dangerous or creepy to me in the film. But the one robot that always creeped me out, that I thought was always the most intimidating, scary-looking robot, was Ed 209 in RoboCop. It's just, there was just something really, really intimidating about that robot. Of course, you know, he had like these big guns for arms and everything like that. I mean, it was built to just shoot people up rather than just act as a robotic cop, right? Very intimidating robot. But anyway, I digress. Let's go back to the sci-fi trivia question. What crime-infested city was depicted in the movie RoboCop? Anybody have the answer? And my sister Gina's in the chat. It's great to see you, Gina. And Gina says, I missed the wine-related part. Well, you know, I still have the wine here. I have the beer-related part. You missed the film, too, by the way. And my sister Gina, as a matter of fact, we're talking about films. I think a lot of my films, I don't think you've ever really seen because I'm pretty sure you've seen News at 6, which I've shown before. But a lot of the films, and a lot of them I've shown here on the show in the past, I don't think you've ever really seen. I know Edwin saw Space Apes. I brought it up there. I brought it out to California one year, but it was on a really, really bad VHS copy. And Ed says, remember Box, the robot in Logan's Run, speaking of movies with Farrah Fawcett. Yeah, I do remember that, the robot in Logan's Run. Where was I? stream of consciousness again. Oh, I was going to say, oh, yes. So Edwin saw Space Apes, but he saw a really, really poor transfer of it. That was back right after I finished the film. We finished the film in 1992. And it's, you know, it's been stored up for 31 years. Finally got around to transferring over, did a complete restoration on it. And Gina, if you can, I would love it if you could... if you could be here on the 18th of November, because I am going to show, as I mentioned earlier in the show, I am going to show Space Age from Ice Planet Alpha in its entirety. This is the one and only feature film that we made back in 1992 and on Super 8. And we're going to show it in its entirety, but in segments during the show. And... I have shown it twice on the after show on Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. So only a few people have seen it. But everyone who's seen it has given it some really great reviews. I've had folks I've shown it in private showings to other people in the last few weeks. And they all give it some really great reviews. And they think it's a really funny film. And it drives home the points. But we're going to show it in its entirety November 18th, just before the holidays, and that show there. So it would be great if you can if you can be there for that, that would be much appreciated. I would be honored, as a matter of fact, Gina, if you'd be there for that, because I think you would enjoy the film. I think you would like it, and it's going to be some things you've probably never seen before, you know, as far as of what we've done for films. And anyway, so yes, Ed, I do remember, and the Robot and Logan's Run, I don't think it was that. It was really more. That was the robot that was in the scene where they were in the ice chamber, right? They were in the ice chamber, if I remember correctly. Spiky robot. I thought it was kind of okay, but I didn't really find that robot intimidating. But I did find Ed 209 very intimidating, and still do to this day. So, you know, as intimidating robots go. So the sci-fi trivia question, once again, what crime-infested city was depicted in the movie RoboCop? I'll give you a few more seconds to do it, and then I'm going to put up the answer, if anybody can guess what that is. And by the way, Gina, how are you doing? I hope everything's doing well for you. I hope everyone's fine. I'm just glad you're here. I'm glad you're here. Even if you did miss the wine part, I'm still just very, very glad to see you here. And everyone else in the chat as well, especially those who are watching on Twitch, just jump in and say hi. It's okay. It's all right. It's all good. All right. So anybody, any ideas? Ed, you remember the robot in Logan's Run? Ed, I know you've seen RoboCop. but, you know, I have really been on a sci-fi kick lately. I'm sorry, I left that up there for a long time. I've been really on a sci-fi kick lately, rewatching a lot of old 50s sci-fi movies. And because that's one of my favorite things, watching sci-fi films from the 50s and the 60s. And I saw, I want to go back and see When Worlds Collide again. That was another classic. But I edit a lot of these when I worked in television, when I worked for Channel 35 especially. I spent a lot of my time editing a lot of those films for television and putting in the commercial breaks and editing out stuff for time and things like that. And I really kind of miss that aspect of it because there was just something comforting. As in, I'm getting older now, and it's like watching shows like Firefly and shows like Farscape and things like that, you know, and those are all newer shows and the classic stuff, and especially the shows that only lasted a season or two, like Firefly did. And, you know, well, Farscape got to see 5-6 seasons, I guess. But, you know, some of these other shows, sci-fi shows that I really got hooked on, that they canceled after a season or two. I think, you know, I go back and watch those things still again, and I'm thinking, well, you know, it'd be cool to. I've heard that they were talking about reviving, doing a reboot on Firefly. There's no more beer in here. And I they were talking about it. I don't know if it's ever going to really happen. Anyway, so back to the original. Where is it? I lost my place on this again. That's what happens when you don't have a producer. That's not it. Where's my trivia question? Okay, last chance. What crime-infested city was depicted in the movie RoboCop? Ed says a co-ed back in the day went to college and demanded to be enrolled in a double major, ancient Egyptian emperors and plumbing. She heard that the guys really went for Pharaoh-Fawcett majors. Oh, boy. I like that one, actually. I like that one. So you get the laugh. Thanks, Ed. That was a good one. Definitely a good one. Gina, do you have a copy of this yet? I'm pretty sure you got a copy of the one book. If you don't have a copy of the Drink with Rick Beer Tasting Notebook, I'll send you a copy. Just let me know, and I'll send you a copy. If you don't have one of the Wine Tasting Notebook, I'll send you a copy of that one as well. Ed says, don't know RoboCop City. Okay, well, here's the answer. To the sci-fi trivia question this week, what crime-infested city was depicted in the movie RoboCop? It is Detroit. None other than Detroit. Which, actually, my son, Tom Antio, he went to for a wedding this past month. He visited Detroit. He came back with some stories. Thought it was an interesting town, but and it's really weird because back in that day, it wasn't quite as bad back then. But back in the day that they made RoboCop, that was back in the 80s, they were depicting Detroit as a really, really rundown and crime-infested city. And it was almost prophetic because look where it is today. If you've heard about it or anything like that, it's pretty much there. They could probably use a RoboCop or two, I guess. All right, so that was the trivia question tonight. We'll have another one next week. In the meantime, I think it's time to close up. And let me give you a final review on this wine, because this is what we were drinking. We were drinking the Rose and Finch California Red Wine 2021. This is a Napa Valley wine. And to be honest, I really don't know if this Rose and Finch Wines is an actual winery or is one of those labels, winery labels, that's not a real winery. I don't know, because I could not find any information about this winery. No information on it at all. Now, it is sold at Trader Joe's, $3.99, and I will say that it's actually not bad for $3.99. It's actually a pretty decent wine. I'm going to have a little bit more, as a matter of fact. Fairly smooth. I was getting raspberry on the nose. No, I'm sorry. I was getting blackberry on the nose in the beginning, but I'm getting really more raspberry in the taste. A little hint of blackberry, but mostly raspberry in the taste. It's a little bit oaky, not much. Medium tannin. It's medium acidity, medium kind of everything. It's kind of fruity, but it's not, you know, really fruity, not jammy or anything like that. Kind of just, once again, medium everything, fairly smooth, medium tannin. It's just overall, I think it's not a bad wine for $3.99. I shouldn't be really surprised, because I've found some pretty good deals at Trader Joe's for around the $3 to $5 mark. For a budget wine, there were a few of them, and we've reviewed several of them on the show in the past. Not bad. It went great with the burger. It went well with the burger that we had here on the plate, all leftovers, of course, and the cheese. This is the Trader Joe's. This is from Trader Joe's. This is the unexpected cheddar with parm. The brisket, not so much, but I think that's probably more on the brisket than on the wine itself. It did go pretty well with the chocolate stuff that we tried out. So sorry. And once again, if you missed that, I've got the photo of it again. This is what my lovely wife, she prepared tonight, pretty much mostly chocolate and fruits and stuff. And it went pretty well with all of that. And that was for National Chocolate Day, as a matter of fact. Now, when we're talking about the beer, I would say the wine, yeah, not a bad buy. I'd say it's worth $3.99, definitely. It's not a bad wine at all. It's definitely worth the $3.99. So, you know, go pick it up. I don't know if I'd pay like $10 or something for it, but it's actually not bad for $4. It's, you know. Okay, so for the beer was the Samuel Adams Oktoberfest, and I really like Sam Adams beers. As a general rule, the chocolate Bock is a favorite of mine, and we're getting towards that season again where Sam Adams puts out that annual chocolate Bock. So I'm looking forward to seeing if I can find it. Although they generally don't sell it singly, they usually sell it in their seasonal holiday pack. So you have to buy a dozen, bottles of them to get one or two bottles of the chocolate Bock. But this one, the Oktoberfest wine, they do sell singly, and this is also available at Trader Joe's, $1.85 or $1.89, I think is what it was. Nice, smooth beer. Nice, healthy head on the beer that's retained over a long period of time. Peppery. It's a little bit peppery, black pepper. But it's actually a pretty nice drinking beer, and I recommend that as well. And I do like Sam Adams beers anyway, so that's pretty good. All right, so those are my final reviews on the wine and beer, and we're going to do a review of another coffee, I think, in the next week or so. Ed says, did you talk about cheese decoration on the tasting plate? Yes, I did. I did. That was, should I bring it up and mention it again? Her decoration, she always does a great presentation, by the way. But this one was chocolate. It had, for National Chocolate Day that we toasted. And this one had, grapes with a chocolate center in it. And she had the strawberries with chocolate in that. And then she had this chocolate, I don't know what this thing was. It's something with strawberries in it. It was actually quite good. And I tried it with the wine. And then there are chocolate chips down in the bottom of the vase there. It's supposed to be a chocolate bouquet is what it is. She did a fabulous job on it, as she always does. And, I need to give Chi another round of applause because she really brings that every week. Ed says, next week, coffee? Yes, I think so. I think we're going to do a coffee next week. Got that wound up. We've got the official Drink with Rick coffee maker down here. And we'll probably, we're going to do another wine, but we're going to do something a little bit different on that respect. I'll surprise you. I'll surprise you with that. Okay, I think it's time to wrap it up. I want to thank everybody for being here with me tonight. I want to thank my good friend Ed. I want to thank Gina. I want to thank my lovely wife, Chi, who's done so much for me in here. Everybody who's watching on Twitch and on Odyssey and on YouTube, thank you for being here with me tonight. I really, really appreciate each and every one of you. And right now, it's time for me to bring out my good friend, the official mascot of Drink with Rick on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. It's time to bring out, you know who I'm talking about, Roadkill Bill. Yes, it's Roadkill Bill, and a Roadkill Bill, I haven't given him an applause for that, but here we go. But for Roadkill Bill, Bill has a special message for all of us. And the message is, please do not drink and drive. And I say this in all seriousness. I make a lot of fun on the show. It's cat turd day. Catter day. Catter day night. The Catter day night wine stream. It's cat turd day. Look, I make a lot of fun on the show. But in all seriousness, I say this. Please do not drink and drive. Drink in the comfort of your home, your apartment, your hotel room, your dwelling, wherever you are. Don't drink and drive, please. If you have to go somewhere, if you absolutely have to go somewhere, call an Uber, call Lyft, call a cab, call a friend who hasn't been drinking and who has a valid driver's license, and you can drive you home safely. Someone you trust. Other than that, just stay put. Please just stay where you are. It's just much safer that way. Don't put yourself in danger. Don't put others at risk. Please do not drink and drive. And don't text and drive either, because that's also very dangerous. And I saw someone on the way to work this week. I saw someone else texting and driving. Look at their cell phone instead of driving, doing 70 miles an hour better on the highway. And I had to steer very, very clear from them. So it makes me nervous. Please don't text and drive either. Because I want you to have a great week. But most of all, I want you to have a safe week. So you can join me here again next week on the Saturday Night Wine Stream. And we can all get together and drink with Rick. Good night.